Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for the time we can study your word. We pray that you'd guide us in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Folks, we're beginning a study in our Bible studies for life, and it's called The Essentials of Christianity. And last Sunday we began to hand them out. This is the book that we're using. And if you haven't gotten one yet, you can check with me on Sunday, and we sure enough will have them there available for you. So we're looking today at the nature of God from John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You know, in our society, there are lots of questions being asked. What's the deal with Christianity? Why does it seem like they have something that I don't have? Here's another one. Who do these Christians think they are? You mean you really believe this guy rose from the dead and is coming back in the sky? You see, people have a good misunderstanding of what Christianity is all about. In your books on page 14 is the point of our study tonight in the nature of God, and it is that God has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the first question at the bottom of the page there says, when have you thrown up your hands and determined something was too complicated? For me, it's almost every day when I sit down at the computer. I think I'm doing well, and all of a sudden I'll get something that says, you can't do that, you can't do this. And I sometimes get frustrated. But I usually can figure it out. If all else fails, I go to YouTube. And I can usually find what I need at YouTube. But you know, there are some things that are beyond our ability to understand. You know, a four-year-old can learn to count, but you wouldn't expect him to know anything about advanced calculus, would you? And there's one subject that remains beyond the control of all of us, and it is the Trinity. That God himself revealed him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God. And we just can't fully comprehend how three can be one. But I know this, we can still appreciate the beauty and the nature of God. So let's look at John chapter 14, beginning in verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now, folks, the key words there are the sake of the works in verse 11. He's talking about the works and the miracles that he was performing. And that not only demonstrated that Jesus was God, but it also validated the truth of his words and his teachings. Are there three gods? Are they really the same with just three different names? You see, the Trinity is a word used to put God's nature into human words. It describes how God revealed himself to us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't find the word Trinity in the Scriptures at all. But many passages help us understand how it works. And John 14 is one of these places. On the night that Jesus was about to be arrested and crucified, he said to his disciples in verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, for from now on you know him and have seen him. Well, that really wasn't clear to Philip. So Philip asks a follow-up question. Show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus essentially says to him, ta-da! You're looking at him. You see, Jesus is the physical form of the spiritual God. He had said on an earlier occasion in John chapter 10 verse 30, I and my Father are one and the same. You know, we might not understand how a car works, but we can still rely on it to get from place to place, right? Well, in the same way, we may not understand exactly how God works, but we can know and trust His work. The bottom line here, God came to us in human form. Jesus is fully God, and He revealed God to us in ways that we can relate to. He became a human being just like us. He looked similar to us. He could talk to us. He could walk with us. People could see Him and touch Him. And most importantly, even though He was God, Jesus died as a human being. But the key difference is that Jesus died with our sins on Him. He died in our place. The scripture says, He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we could be cleansed from our sins and have eternal life with Him. And when Philip saw Jesus, a real person standing in front of him, he saw God. God the Son shows us God the Father. Now, generally in the world, everybody can know about God. Paul had said in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, because that which may be known of God is made known unto them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and deity, so that they are without excuse. So God generally shows everyone, but Jesus revealed God in a very different way. He did so in a personal, relatable way. Jesus, who is fully human, is also fully God. God the Father, the sovereign, the all-powerful, holy creator of the universe can be seen in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the second question on page 18 says, what ways does Jesus show us what God is like? Well, I can think of a few. Maybe you can too. Compassion. His love. Jesus' willingness to forgive sin. Oh, by the way, that's also a recognition that He is God, because the scripture is clear, only God can forgive sin. Now look at verse 16 in John 14 on page 18 in your book. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now the key word there is in verse 16, the word comforter. Literally means somebody called alongside. The comforter, the Holy Spirit, would be just like Jesus. Both of them are God. You see, Jesus told us two things about the Holy Spirit. He said the Comforter was coming so that the disciples wouldn't be left comfortless. Jesus wanted them to know that even though He wasn't going to be physically there, the Father had not left them by themselves. And the second thing was that the Comforter's coming, we could still have access to God, just like they had access to God when they talked to Jesus face to face. Question number three in page 19 says, how does the Holy Spirit work in the believer's life? Boy, that's a great question, isn't it? We don't have Jesus physically with us, eating with us, teaching us face to face, but we still have access to Him because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will work through us in ways that we really can't understand to carry out the desires and the will of our Heavenly Father. Now, look at verse 23 in John chapter 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, if anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. But the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who has sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being present with you. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Jesus said the Spirit would teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things. Now, the Holy Spirit we read about in Scripture is the very same Holy Spirit that works in our hearts today. He still convicts us. He still moves us. He still empowers us. The Father sent the Son to give us an example to follow, and yes, to die for our sins. He sent the Holy Spirit to continue Jesus' work by empowering believers in the church. And through the Holy Spirit, we can find God's truth in Scripture. We can live what Jesus taught and carry out the work that Jesus left for us to do. And that work was to make disciples of all nations. So what do we do with this truth about how God has revealed himself as Father and Son and Holy Spirit? Well, I think we need to give thanks to God for being a God who reveals himself to us. Thank him for coming to us in the Lord Jesus Christ and for giving us the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. And let me encourage you to study Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, alongside John chapter 1, verses the first 18 verses. And you can look at the similarities and the differences of the three persons of the Trinity. And then beyond that, I believe we need to trust the Holy Spirit to give us opportunity and the words to point others to the Lord Jesus. Remember, that's our job. That's what we're here to do. And I encourage you to read, it's titled The Counselor on pages 24 through 27. It's a very good read on the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now, next week, we're going to look at the purpose of humanity on page 28. And we will resume our study at church on March 17th at 6 o'clock. Boy, God is good all the time. See you in church.